We begin with Dr. Ife Williams, the national chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And unfortunately, Daryl Glasper, former Metro councilman, is unable to be with us, but it's good to visit with you, Dr. Ife Williams.
Well, good morning. How are you? It's always wonderful to be with you.
Well, it's always good to talk with you. And I would imagine, based on previous conversations, Faye Williams, you were not at the president's fundraiser last night.
Absolutely not. You know, the only way I would have been there would be out there in front of the building protesting. We have to do a lot of that these days in Washington because it seems that so much is being undone that people like. And so we have to stay vigilant, stay petitioning, continue being out there protesting, what have you. Because otherwise, you know, everything that we hold dear in this country seems to be falling apart by design.
All right. Well, last night the president had a $35,000 a head fundraiser. He raised about $10 million at the Trump International Hotel. And this is from a candidate who a year ago said he was self-funding his campaign, and he did that to some extent, but mostly his contributions came from other sources, not from himself. And this time he's getting a pretty good head start, the earliest fundraiser ever, according to reports, for a sitting president seeking another term. After all, we're still, what, well over 3 years away from the conventions of 2020, but Donald Trump is planning to run for re-election despite his embattled state, and he and the U.S. Senate majority, led by Mitch McConnell, decided not to go forward with a vote on health care reform, if you can call it reform, repeal and reform Obamacare. That's what the mantra is. The headline in the New York Times is GOP holds out option of fixing present CARE Act. And the story from Mitch McConnell, the Kentucky Republican, is that if the Republicans can't come together, he'll have to work with Democrats.
Oh, isn't that awful? That's an awful thought, isn't it? That's what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I don't see how he thinks he can speak for the Democrats. When they were working on the Affordable Care Act, they certainly involved Republicans. And no one expects that if Democrats work with them, that we would get very much, but just the very idea that we're cutting out our democracy of allowing even participation is just unbelievable.
Well, this plan, if passed as it is currently configured, would knock out a lot of Medicaid, the benefits the state has received under the Affordable Care Act. And in Louisiana, 70% of the births are Medicaid births. In the U.S., it's about half. So with that as the backdrop, is this a palatable plan? I think I know your answer, Faye Williams, but many, of course, are supportive of the president and his actions and are encouraging him to get rid of Obamacare at all costs. What do you think?
Well, Jim, it seems that the purpose is to get rid of anything with President Obama's name on it, with no regard to how this negatively impacts the people. Now, when we say a lot of people are supporting President Trump on his trying to get rid of Obamacare, actually, surveys are showing us it's only 12 to 17% of the people who are supporting the act that the Republicans are trying to get passed now. So that doesn't seem like a whole lot. It seems that after people had an opportunity to use Obamacare, many of them have begun to like it. Now, when we talk about failures of Obamacare, it seems that you would act as you do when you have a car, maybe that has a flat tire. You don't get rid of the car, you try to fix it. And I think the Democrats have always said that, including President Obama himself, that there needed to be some fixing to Obamacare. But it doesn't mean we have to get rid of it in order to fix it. The Democrats are ready to go to work to fixing what may be wrong with it or where it is not strong enough right now. But the Republicans are meeting behind and have been meeting behind closed doors and totally cutting the Democrats out.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. Toll free, 877-217-5757, and the email is talk@talklouisiana.org for Dr. Faye Williams. Many remember she ran for Congress a couple of times and lost narrow races to Clyde Holloway in the old 8th District, and this was back in the late 80s, long before African-American women were a huge presence in American politics, particularly in the South. So she defied the odds then and has been named by Ebony Magazine as one of the most 100 influential African Americans in our country, the pride of Alexandria Faye Williams. This from many times from Ebony Magazine. Now, this plan that is apparently going to come up again sometime in the summer apparently has the support of both Louisiana U.S. Senators, certainly John Kennedy, and probably Bill Cassidy, who's a doctor, who said it had to pass the Jimmy Kimmel test. Considering they are Republicans in a state that voted by more than 400,000 to the plus for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, is it any surprise that they would be supportive of the president's initiative?
Absolutely not. It's not a surprise at all, but I think people in my home state of Louisiana should be visiting both Senators Kennedy and Cassidy while they're home to let them know that, you know, just repealing Obamacare is not the answer to fixing their health care needs. One-third of Republicans seem to want to keep most of Obamacare, so why would you get rid of it to try to come up with something else? They've worked absolutely, 7 years or more, over 7 years, trying to get rid of and to block anything that President Obama did, including the health care plan. It still passed, and people who maybe didn't like it in the beginning now say, I would rather have Obamacare than to have nothing, because it seems that the Republicans want to keep most of what's in Obamacare, so why are they, you know, so dead set on destroying it other than to destroy the name? And President Obama himself has said, I don't care if they call it Trump Care. People need health care, so let's fix it, not repeal it, not destroy it.
All right, today's New York Times, in addition to the lead story about the GOP holding out the option of fixing the present CARE Act. Mitch McConnell, the majority leader who's assigned to do this, is in a state much like Louisiana, a poor southern state, Kentucky. And the second story says perhaps nowhere has the health care law had as powerful an impact as in Kentucky, where nearly one in three people now receive coverage through Medicaid expanded under the legislation. And yet Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul are no fans of Obamacare, the two senators representing Kentucky, much like Louisiana, two Republicans. In fact, Rand Paul may very well have voted against the GOP plan that was being floated because it didn't go far enough. So, Faye Williams, these lawmakers from the South, a couple of states that have caused a lot more people to be covered under the Affordable Care Act, Kentucky and Louisiana, they're not budging. Why do you think they're not budging? Is it because they're just hard-headed, or do they have good reasons for not going along with Obamacare?
I think they have no good reasons other than the fact that they want to try to erase the fact that President Obama ever served as President of the United States. But, you know, history will show that President Obama is the one president who was able to get us some form of health care, and of course it is the Democrats who want to get health care for all, you know, a single-payer insurance so that all of us have insurance. And I think what people don't understand is that the more sickness we have around us, the more it's going to impact those of us who think that we're well now. So we should all want to, because there's some things that are contagious, and we should all want everyone to be well in this country. And I, for one, as a taxpayer, am not opposed to paying more taxes to help to keep America safe. I'd rather do that and healthy. I'd rather do that than to pay more taxes to give the wealthy tax breaks. And that's what it seems the Republicans are trying to do, take away from the least of the people, from the poorest of the people, people with disabilities, older people, et cetera, to give tax breaks. That's what they're really trying to get to. They're not really concerned about replacing Obamacare. They want to repeal it so that they have money to get to tax reform. So I hope that everybody understands that. We'll be giving up our health insurance or part of our health insurance, the cost of our health insurance, in order to get them to tax reform for the already wealthiest people.
A listener, Sharon, notes that 50% of the people currently in nursing homes also receive Medicaid. That's in the United States, and I would imagine the number in Louisiana would be higher. Now, a listener notes that despite the president's obvious trouble with poll numbers, that four times since he's been elected, there have been congressional races, and in all four cases, the people he supported won. So how do you explain that, Dr. Williams?
Well, people tend to like their own senator or congressperson or representative. They can't always see the fault in them. they see the fault in others. But I don't think that those who won in those special elections won because of any support for Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, Trump got, what, in Georgia, 1% or so of the vote, so he really didn't lend anything to that. But even so, Jim, if people still want to vote for a Republican, then, you know, that's their right to do so. But what we're just hoping is that those Republicans would come to their senses and want to do good things for their people. I don't care what label someone has on them, Democrat, Republican, Independent, or what have you, as long as they're doing things to help the people. But many of those people who are voting for people like Trump and voting for Republicans are voting against their own best interests. Let's just look at the last presidential election. You had more than 50% of white women voting for Donald Trump, yet they were voting against their best interests. But you see, they have an option. Many of them have fathers, grandfathers, etc., who can help to take care of them. Poor people like Latinos or brown people, black people, poor people, elderly, etc., we depend upon our representatives to help to get things for us and to do things for us, to make sure we're employed, to make sure we have health care. We don't have that, you know, that other option there.
Well, his poll numbers are hovering around 40%, maybe a little lower, but they're really not all that much different than they were on election eve, and then he ended up winning an election against Hillary Clinton. Did he win because she was a terrible candidate, or did he win because of other factors that are still in play 161 days after he's taken office?
Well, you know, I'm not one to say that Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. As a matter of fact, those of us who are black women voted, what, some almost 95% for Hillary Clinton. So we were pleased with what she was offering to bring to the people. I'm still one of her fans. I still believe that she did well. You know, more than 3 million, or just about 3 million more people voted for her than voted for Trump. There are other factors, as you talk about. It is the system under which one wins. We need to change that system, the Electoral College. That was a problem. We had so many things going, like the Russian interference in the election. There were so many things that happened, all of the negative things that Trump and his people were out there saying about Hillary that were simply not true. She had just gone through this very grueling search by the Senate investigating her, and, you know, just so many things. And there were the people who hated President Obama and wanted him to be gone. So there was much, but people lose for many different reasons, but not because Hillary was a bad candidate. I happen to think that Hillary Clinton is one of the smartest women in this country, maybe even in the world.
Well, Faye Williams, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today from Washington, D.C., Dr. Faye Williams.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Talk to you soon.